A reading from the Gospel of Luke. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another, and all will be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that it is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name, and this will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you the words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." Given the season that we're in at the tail end of the liturgical year, my initial reading of today's gospel from Luke led me to clump it with similar passages from Mark and Matthew about the end times, what it will look like just before God wraps up history once and for all. I learned something new, though, when reading the exegetical commentary on this text, something that is actually obvious if one slows down to read carefully. And that something is that Luke's Jesus isn't talking here about the end of time at all, but the end of the temple in Jerusalem, an event that had taken place in 70 AD, about 20 years before Luke put pen to parchment. And Luke wants us to know that Jesus was a trustworthy prophet, much like Jeremiah was a trustworthy prophet when he stood in the midst of the temple hundreds of years earlier and predicted it would fall just before it did the first time. Jesus, like Jeremiah, doesn't tell people what they want to hear. He tells them the truth. And the things Jesus said would happen had happened in the decades between Jesus' preaching and Luke's writing. There had been wars and earthquakes. Rome had devastated the city. Despite all the false leaders that had tried to rouse the people to revolt against the empire and promised they could triumph. More than that, in the years preceding the fall, Jesus' disciples themselves had been under attack. They'd been arrested and imprisoned. They'd been betrayed by their families, hauled before authorities with suspicion. How do we know? Because Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And all the things Jesus is saying here in chapter 21 run parallel to the adventures he records of the early church in the season just before the temple fell. The point that seems important here is that Jesus isn't talking about what life will look like at the end of time, but in the church's time, which sounds pretty dreadful, granted, but also is not the end. I remember many moons ago when I was taking church history, each era we studied seemed worse than the last, and the professor would say, "Well, this was a particularly dark and dangerous era for the church." But she said it so often that one day in class we finally confronted her. "You say that every week. Every century sounds like a dark and dangerous time in the life of the church." And she laughed and admitted, "Well, now that you mention it." There are still earthquakes and wars, famines and persecutions. Families are still divided down the middle on politics and religion, and continue to betray their members in horrible ways on a regular basis. False prophets still abound, feeding on people's deepest longings and worst biases. Is our century any worse than the last 20? 2 semesters of church history would not lead me to think so. So perhaps the existence of such events is not really Jesus' point here. Maybe the more important focus in the text is what comes next. That after listening to all these dreadful things, Jesus says something really intriguing. "This will give you an opportunity to testify." And here's where I find myself sitting for a while and wondering. In Luke's gospel, it's almost as if the crashing and burning sets the stage for a preacher to arrive and give a word. What word? And why only then? And here I have to move from those big global pictures of massive natural disasters and ceaseless war to down here, close in, micro level. I don't even want to try to justify the grandeur of evil on a large scale, suffering so vast it defies comprehension. My wonderings are more immediate, more personal. In what ways have the cataclysmic events of our own time prepared me to receive testimony? In what ways have the cataclysmic events in my life prepared me to give testimony? And what kind of testimony have they prepared me to give? I know for myself there's something about suffering that readies me to listen to another person's testimony. The fact that I have suffered makes me hungry, even desperate for answers in a way that I wasn't before. And the fact that they have suffered makes them more trustworthy, more credible a witness to me. Why do we sit at the feet of Desmond Tutu, strain to hear the quiet voice of Malala, trip over ourselves to catch a glimpse of the Dalai Lama? Because they've witnessed earthquakes and famines and wars and persecutions by their own people. And we believe they have something to say that they may not have had otherwise. And Jesus says these events have prepared us to listen and to talk in a new way. About what? Here's where I think we have to be most careful. For Jesus doesn't seem to say that you'll know in advance, that you can prepare for all that life has to hand you. There's no canned message here Jesus gives his disciples, no talking point. He only says, don't prepare a defense in advance. Don't interpret things before they happen. Only God can give you the wisdom that you'll need at the moment in which you'll need it. Words come like daily bread, and we can't collect them for tomorrow, lest they become stale, rotten like stored manna. So experiment with me here for one moment, because like Luke's community so long ago, I know that each of you is aware of the cataclysmic events going on in our own world today. And moreover, in your own personal life, there are things you've suffered. You know what it's like to have loved and to have lost, to have your faith convictions be a source of friction in your life. You know about family divisions, betrayal. You've seen temples fall that you never thought would crumble. And you may not live in the end times, but you do live in the church's time. And I wonder what the testimony is that you would offer the world today. What word do you want to give a world that knows such grief? It doesn't have to be something you'd say for forever. It doesn't have to apply everywhere and always to be the definitive, singular answer to the vast sufferings of our world. It might be a word just for today. The wisdom of God for this place at this time in our struggles, and that's okay. But the world needs you to give it. And now's your opportunity. And so what is the testimony you have to bear? And where could you share it today?